in the powers of digestion and assimilation and getting nutrients into the body. I should say right away that that does not pertain to all macular degeneration, but it does appear to pertain to the type that the majority of folks with macular degeneration have, namely the so-called dry type. I know that seems an odd term because the eye internally, where the macula, which is the central part of the vision, is all wet all the time anyway. But we doctors put very strange terms on things, and dry just means there's simply a deterioration. It just seems to be disintegrating. And the wet type of macular degeneration is said by ophthalmologists to mean that there are new blood vessels forming in there that are overgrowing and covering up the macula. That looks different than just the deteriorating type, so it's termed wet. Now, I should say up front that I'm not an ophthalmologist, and gradually evolved a system for treating this by putting one or another clue together over several years. And what we've found at our clinic, and we, means myself, other physicians who practice there currently and have practiced there before, all have come to the same conclusion, that approximately 70% of all macular degeneration can be either stopped where it is, so it doesn't get any worse, or in actually the majority of that 70% can be gotten dramatically better. I know that sounds like quite a claim, but we've been doing this since 1986, and even though we're not ophthalmologists, we make sure to send folks back to their ophthalmologist to confirm whether or not there's been a visual improvement, and we record that in folks' records, as the ophthalmologist tells us, and that's what we're finding.
Well, preventative measures for slowing the progression of macular degeneration include wearing sunglasses in bright light and avoiding smoke and controlling blood pressure, cholesterol levels. That's what your orthodox doctor would certainly suggest. But there are many other things you're obviously doing because you're getting better results. Take us on that journey. We have plenty of time. There's no commercial interruptions with this show.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Gary. I'd be glad to. Let me start with my father's case. This was back in the early 90s. At the time, he was 84, and he gave me a call. I'm in Washington State, and he was in Ohio. And he called to tell me that his vision was getting worse and worse, and he'd gone to an ophthalmologist back in Ohio and been told he had progressive macular degeneration. And by the time he called me up, his vision was 2300 corrected with glasses in one eye and 2400 corrected with glasses. That's the best correction that could be achieved in the other eye. And what should he do? Well, I asked him, please come on out here to Washington and we'll see if we can take care of it. He's a fairly stubborn fellow and didn't want to come to Washington. So he made the rounds of ophthalmologists back in Ohio. And at about the ninth or tenth one, found one who said that, well, he didn't think there was anything could be done, but since he wasn't doing anything better anyway, he'd try some sort of nutritional therapy, even though he was not a nutritional medicine doctor. So we talked on the phone, and I told him what the treatment was, and he applied it, and it did take 3 or 4 months, as it usually does. But by the end of that time, he told me, and this is the ophthalmologist now, that my dad's vision was back to 2040 and 2050 corrected, down from 2300 and 2400. And he couldn't believe that. This is the ophthalmologist in Ohio. So he started applying it to his other patients, and it worked for some of them, too. We certainly never say it always works. But it worked for such a large proportion that the last I heard, he was writing letters off to Medicare trying to get them to cover it, which, as you can imagine, they still don't. But to get back to the evolution of the treatment, because it really sometimes helps folks to follow it rather than just saying we have this claim, we have this treatment. And please interrupt me, Gary, if I'm not being clear. I actually first got on the trail by reading the Yakima Valley Herald. Now, that's not a medical journal, and the Yakima Valley Herald is a newspaper published at Eastern Washington in Yakima. There's a column there by Dr. Joseph Bittner. Dr. Bittner wrote a weekly column for that small newspaper, and in one week he was writing about his own case of macular degeneration. And he said that he knew that in Eastern Washington, there's quite a deficiency of selenium in the soil. In fact, that's quite prevalent in Eastern Washington, Eastern Oregon, and for that matter in Western and Eastern, I'm sorry, Western Washington and Oregon also, but worse over there. It's so bad that the farmers are all advised to give their livestock selenium supplements or they'll get a disease called white muscle disease. So he knew it was quite deficient over there, and he'd been living all his life and eating the agricultural products from there. So he thought, what the heck, he'd take a rather large dose of selenium every day, and he did. And he reported that his macular degeneration got better and his vision improved, and he was just letting the people who read the newspaper know that. So that was my first clue from Dr. Bittner that, hey, maybe this problem, which is said to be irreversible and progressive, maybe it can be turned around. So the next few people I saw who happened to have macular degeneration, and, you know, they didn't come to see me for that because I'm not an ophthalmologist. They came in for other reasons, and they happened to have it. I asked them to use some selenium, and this was by mouth. And a few of them, and in this case it was a minority, said, hey, my vision isn't getting worse. In fact, it might be getting better, a couple of them said. Well, all right, here was some confirmation of what Dr. Bittner had to say about himself. So at that point I thought, well, gee, if we can supply nutrients, or nutrient in this case, to the eye, and it gets better, let's look and see what other nutrients are really important to the retina. This, remember, the macula is the center part of the retina where the vision really comes to a focus. So I started looking in medical journals and books and everywhere else, and certainly there are many things important to the retina, but zinc kept coming up. Very, very important. There's more zinc in the retina than anywhere except in the hearing apparatus in our whole bodies. And then an amino acid, which I know you've talked about, Gary, as being real important to vision, namely taurine. Now, there's a whole lot of taurine in the retina. And I knew from other things that if we use selenium, it's probably a good idea to use vitamin E. So for a while, I was asking folks to swallow zinc and selenium and taurine and vitamin E, and the proportion of people who stabilized their vision or had it even improved went up, but we still weren't even close to 50%. Well, one day, my nurse got a call. The nurse I worked with at the time got a call from one of our longtime clients who said, hey, she had to get in real quick. Her vision had just gone all to pieces in just 6 weeks, and she had just been to her ophthalmologist, and he told her that she had rapidly progressive macular degeneration. At the rate it was going, she was going to be blind in a year. And this was 1986, by the way, and she's still seeing just fine, and here we are in 2001. But back to her case. So we got her in as rapidly as we could, a couple, 3 days. Now, another thing comes into this story. It's an entirely true story. But the evolution of the treatment is that her husband happened to be a CPA. And what's that got to do with anything? What that has to do with anything is that at that time, one could deduct the cost of every single vitamin and mineral and supplement that one took from one's federal income taxes. And being a CPA, he knew that, and he kept very large spreadsheets of every single vitamin and mineral that he and his wife had been taking for the last several years, and every time one of them came in for a visit, here came in the latest version of the spreadsheet. Well, he came in with her, brought in the spreadsheets, and sure enough, on that spreadsheet, hey, she had been taking, either in a multiple vitamin or separately, she had been already taking zinc and selenium and vitamin E and taurine, and yet her eyes were still deteriorating. Well, one of the things that sometimes is very useful in the nutritional approach to medicine, especially with those of us who are past 55, 60, 65, is that if it's supposed to work when you swallow it, and it works on a whole lot of other people when you swallow it, but it doesn't work for you, then maybe try getting it injected. Maybe it isn't getting in. So we put the selenium and the zinc in an IV. At that time, we didn't have an IV source of taurine. And to this day, there's no source of vitamin E for injection. That's a political matter that the FDA has gotten us into, but we won't go there for now. Anyway, we put the zinc and the selenium into an IV solution, and the nurse was dripping it in that way. And nurse went back across the room to her desk, and this was about half an hour into the injection, and the lady let out a yell, and the nurse turned around and ran over. She thought maybe there was something the matter with the IV, but it turned out the lady was yelling because she said to the nurse, "I can read that poster on the other side of the room, and when I came in here, it was blurry, and I couldn't quite read it." Now, that's the kind of result that doctors really like to get. It really gets them inspired. Hey, look at that. I've got to tell you that that hasn't happened with anybody else with the very first infusion, but it did happen with her. So that was good. We gave her the zinc and selenium IV. Her vision was a little better the first time. We did that every other day for about 6 weeks. She went back to her ophthalmologist, and her vision was as good as before it had started to deteriorate. So we knew we were onto something. Now, how come it worked so well when it was injected, and it didn't work when she swallowed it? Well, another condition that so many of us run into by the time we're 60 is that failure, and it might be called a natural thing. It's sort of like getting gray hair and getting wrinkles and so forth, and not being able to run as fast when we're older and so forth. The digestive tract also undergoes an age-related decline, and one of these times I'd love to learn all the things we can do to prevent that in everybody, but I haven't gotten to that yet. And so we checked out her digestion, and she had what we find over and over and over again in the large majority of people with macular degeneration. She had a stomach that wasn't making very much acid or pepsin, which is what stomachs are supposed to make to digest, help digest the food, principally the protein, and to pull the minerals out of the food matrix and to get them separated and acid treated and electrically changed so that they can be absorbed and all of that. And she also was a bit underproducing her pancreatic digestive enzymes. And, of course, those also help with the digestion. So in addition to getting all these IV minerals into her, the selenium and zinc at the time, we had her start on what are loosely called digestive aids. And one can read about this in several places in the book you mentioned, Gary, The Patient's Guide to Natural Healing. And there's also a case of macular degeneration further detailed in there. And she apparently started digesting her food better and absorbing her minerals better, because once she got off the IVs, we just made sure that she was taking adequate quantities of the zinc and the selenium and the taurine and vitamin E. And actually, she was before. We just boosted them a little bit just to make sure. And along with her digestive aids and those nutrients, her vision remained good from 1986 through, I think it was 1993 or 1994, when she came back in and said, "Hey, it's going again. Let's have another round of those IVs." Well, by that time, we'd decided that, if zinc and selenium aren't being absorbed, must be most of the other minerals aren't being absorbed, because nearly all the minerals, with the exception of sodium and potassium and lithium, are somewhat dependent on acid pepsin digestion in the stomach. So by then, we'd developed an intravenous solution that had every mineral in it that we could think of that was essential to life. And we also were using more amino acids, because that stomach acid and pepsin helps digest protein into amino acids. So this time she got an IV with some 14 different minerals in it, and she got a powder with all the essential amino acids in it, and she recovered her vision again. And we checked, and you know what? She'd slacked off on taking her digestive aids, and that may have been why the problem came back. So now she's definitely not forgetting to take her digestive aids anymore. She hasn't needed any more IVs since her second series. And this is 15 years later, and her vision stays good. Well, that's sort of how the, that is how the treatment evolved gradually. And what we found again is that if folks come in and have macular degeneration as a diagnosis, and we make sure that we have the diagnosis from their ophthalmologist, how bad is it, and we start them on the multinutrient IVs, get their digestion patched up, give them amino acids to take, or actually they get their own to take, we just tell them which ones, that roughly 70% of everyone who comes in can either stabilize their vision so it isn't any doesn't get any worse. The majority of that 70% actually restore a lot of their vision. But yeah, there are 30% that we're still working on. What are we going to do about those? Those are mostly in that wet macular degeneration category. The dry type are the ones we seem to do quite well on. And actually, we hear this thing about how, well, let's see, the way to the heart is through the stomach. Well, in a manner of speaking, the way to every single organ in the body to keep it nourished is through the stomach and the intestines. And with macular degeneration, that is really, really important for most of us. Now, we can't just say, oh, go to the health food store and get some digestive aids and your macular degeneration will get better. Can't do that, because by the time the macular degeneration sets in, the nutrient deficit is so bad that getting it in by intravenous is far and away the way to go. We can get much, much more in the way of the nutrients in a heck of a hurry intravenously. How long does it take? Well, usually, if a person hasn't seen any improvement in their vision in 5 to 6 weeks, we have to tell them, gee, we're real sorry, but you're probably not going to using this approach. We don't usually have quick results like the woman I was telling you about. Usually it's about the third or fourth week, and folks say, oh, yeah, I'm seeing things a little bit better. I have in mind a woman who came in from Hawaii with her husband. When she came in, her vision was to the point where she could read one of those very large traffic billboards if she stood right in front of it. And by 6 weeks later, she was back to reading the newspaper. Now, in both cases, with her glasses, we certainly don't claim to improve the vision past the point where it was when it started to deteriorate. And if one needed glasses then, one's still going to need them after, even if the vision doesn't improve. But we certainly can get it back to where it was before, and the intravenous is real, real necessary if we're going to, in effect, rescue the situation. That's the story. There's other details, too, Gary, but I really am doing a monologue here.
No, but you're doing very well, and I appreciate that because you roll it out in such a way that we can understand it. Why don't you talk also about, if you don't mind, I think a lot of people in this audience would like to hear about natural hormone replacement therapy. That's a big issue today. Could you take us on that little journey?
Sure can. What's currently used the most, as you pointed out in your introduction, are horse hormones called Premarin, or coming up close to that are so-called estrogen patches, which do happen to contain, in most cases, one of the three major natural estrogens. But that's still incomplete. And there is quite a bit of talk, and it is true, about Premarin raising one's risk of cancer. Well, what's detailed in this book, Natural Hormone Replacement for Women Over 45, is it's perfectly possible to obtain, and yes, it is on prescription, and it's the prescriptions are filled at pharmacies called compounding pharmacies. It's perfectly possible to obtain prescriptions for a combination of the natural hormones, and I should say bioidentical. That's a newer term, and that means hormones that are exactly identical to the ones that were circulating in a woman's body when she was in her 20s and in her 30s and 40s and having her own cycles. It's perfectly possible to obtain a prescription for the identical hormones, the identical set of estrogens. There are more than one estrogen. The identical progesterone. And should a woman need it, the identical testosterone. Now, the reason one wants to do that is very, very simple. If we're going to do hormone replacement at all, and I'm the first to say not everyone needs it, but many do who have a family history of osteoporosis or heart problems or are going senile when we get to be 75 or 80. Those are some of the better indications. If we're going to replace hormones at all, we should be replacing them with exactly the same hormones that were there in the first place. It's very much like if you're going to fix your Ford, you fix it with Ford parts. You don't fix it with, let's say, train parts or Chevrolet parts. And the reason we should use the very same molecules or duplicates of the molecules that were in our bodies before is that those are the ones that work the best. Now, that does not mean that they don't have any risk at all, because even when we're in our 30s and 40s and have our own natural hormones, there is a small incidence of breast cancer and there is a small incidence of other problems. But what it does mean is that the risk is no greater than what it was when we had our own hormones circulating. Whereas if we take horse hormones or if we take incomplete synthetic hormones, the risk is greater than using our own hormones. So the whole point is that if we're going to replace hormones, let's replace them with exact duplicates of what was there before. The one comment I get from women, I hear from women over and over and over again who have previously taken horse hormones or other synthetics, is when they finally get on the bioidentical exact duplicate hormones to their own, they say, that just feels better. It feels right. It feels like I did when I was in my 30s. And it just makes sense because it's the hormones that belong there. And that's what the book's about. And also, the book for men is the same sort of thing about testosterone replacement. We spend more time in that book, though, going over the fact that testosterone is the most potent agent out there for preventing cardiovascular disease. Now, certainly diet is very important, and that is cardiovascular disease for men. Whew, got to get that in there. It doesn't work for ladies. Diet is very important, so is exercise, so are some of the supplements, but there are so many reasons, and they're all detailed in Chapter 7, reasons from research studies to say that we should be looking at testosterone as a preventive for cardiovascular disease for men, as well as the other things that testosterone does for guys, some of which are alluded to in the title.
Okay. Could you give us an example of some of the problems with synthetic hormones and replacement, and then possibly like some of the things that could help with the natural hormone replacement?
The most commonly prescribed estrogen, Premarin, isn't exactly synthetic. It does come from horses, and yes, horses are natural. I won't argue with that. But on the other hand, they weigh about 800 pounds, and they've got four legs, and there are not too many women who have those characteristics.
You haven't seen the people I've dated.
Uh-oh. Well, I better stay out of New York, Gary. These horse hormones definitely raise the risk of cancer. In fact, there are a couple of research teams that have identified the molecules, the very molecules in the horse hormone replacement that are most likely to cause cancer in humans. They raise the risk well above what it would be with bioidentical hormones. Also, they raise the risk of blood clots. Now, estrogens are known to do that, even natural ones, during pregnancy when a woman has a very high level of her own her own natural hormones. Yes, the risk of blood clot is higher. But good old Premarin does that without anybody being pregnant. And if one takes the bioidentical hormones for human women, again, the risk remains the same as it was when that woman was in her 20s and 30s. Which is not nil risk, but it is some risk. But it is very little risk. So I'd say that's the biggest difference right there.
What would be some of the natural hormones they should take?
Well, the usually prescribed ones are a combination of estrone, estradiol, and estriol. Those are all made by human ovaries. And estriol is made in far and away the greatest proportion, roughly 70-80% of those three hormones are estriol. Most doctors will prescribe either that combination of three estrogens, and again, they're identical to what the ovaries make. Some doctors prefer to prescribe a combination of the two estradiol and estriol estrogens, and again, those are the ones the ovaries make. I like to stick with the three because that's what's circulating in everybody's bodies when they're 20 and 30 and 40 if they're women, and I like to duplicate what's there. But those are the ones, and they have to be gotten on prescription, again, through a compounding pharmacy.
Well, I certainly appreciate you being on today and sharing these insights, and if people would like more information, they can look up Dr. Jonathan Wright's books, including Patient's Guide to Natural Healing, Natural Hormone Replacement for Women Over 45, and Maximizing Your Vitality and Potency. Thank you very much,
Gary,
for being on.
Gary, could I mention that they can also go to our website, which is Tahoma, TAHOMA-clinic.com. That'll tell them about the books, and I have a newsletter, and all the details are on the website.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much, Gary.
Bye.
Bye.
And that brings up the end of another program. Hope you've enjoyed it, and I look forward to sharing more on our next show.